Hello, this is Tony Arthur at the BBC in London with the best of British folk music in Folkweave. British folk music has its fair share of husband and wife duos, and Dave and Tony Arthur is one of them. But today we're going to hear from a Gloucestershire pair, Graham and Eileen Pratt. We recorded them at Phoebus Awake's Folk Club at the Rising Sun Public House in Catford in London, a club that my husband Dave and I founded back in 1968. Graham and Eileen Pratt.
Whenever I sing the following ballad, I always tell the story behind it because I think it's a very weird story. It's about a girl that makes a bet with her boyfriend that they can meet in a secluded wood and she can still retain her maidenhead, you see. But he doesn't think she can do this because he's all big and lusty and hairy and desperate, as they say. And she's just a frail little ninny of a girl. But fortunately, while she's sort of worrying about whether to turn up for this date or not, because if she doesn't turn up, then he'll never sort of speak to her again, and that would be even worse than being raped. And then she suddenly has the help of an old witch who tells her that the broom, or the broom blossom, the magic perfume of which makes lusty lovers drop off. Nevertheless, the girl tries this and scatters the blossom round her lover, and he carries on sleeping, and when he wakes up, he's still madly randy and very angry, so he takes it out on his poor old horse. And that's the end of the song. So for all horse lovers, the Broomfield Hill. Very pretty ballad, actually.
The lady rides. white steed to reach the maiden still? Or all the birds of the good green wood of your flesh shall have their fill? You need not burst your good white steed by racing o'er the dark.
Excellently with choruses. This is one tailor-made
without a chorus.
Yeah, no. It has a long chorus and several repeat this little bit type phrases. It's an Edwardian musical song called When the Harvest Moon is Shining, Sweet Eileen. And bears no resemblance to my wife whatsoever. Except that she looks like a harvest moon.
Very nice.
Please join in as you feel fit, or otherwise.
It's a soppy love song about a couple growing old together, and you're not really supposed to take it seriously, unless you're a soppy Edwardian.
There are a few around still.
Do try and join in. The bits where you join in are obvious, really.
Yeah.
You sort of repeat half lines in a barbershop-type manner.
Two lovers true are roaming through the country. In the gloaming by the corn, a golden corn. The long, long day is over, and the last great load of clover, homeward borne, homeward borne. The toiler's work is ended with the setting of the sun, and silver moonbeams rise upon the scene, upon the scene. The rustic swain draws nigh to his sweetheart standing by, and murmurs, hear my promise, sweet Eileen. Moon is shining, sweet Eileen, oh sweet Eileen. By the pathway through the meadowland, so green, so fresh and green, we will wander all along in a dream world all our own. When the harvest moon is shining, sweet Eileen, oh. By a cottage midst the heather, youth is past, long since past. Still though their footsteps falter, their affection cannot alter. Love will last, always last. And still their thoughts will ever flow to days of long ago. And though her golden tresses now are grey, they now are grey. Joan's heart is filled with pride as Darby by her side just murmurs in that old familiar way. Sweet Eileen, oh sweet Eileen. By the pathway through the meadowland, so green, so fresh and green, we will wander all along in a dream world all our own. When the harvest moon is shining, sweet Eileen,
This is a silly song, supposedly in comparison with the last one, which you might have thought silly, since I'm you. This is another self-penned one. A lot of the songs I write are based on legends, and this one's no exception, except this legend had some foundation in truth about one leg and one arm, I think it was. It's about a gentleman called Lumley Kettlewell, a Yorkshireman, who's one claim to fame. He would have been avoided by all history books had he not had this peculiar bent, which was to try and give up food. He thought food was an evil. Well, he was Yorkshireman, you know, you can't know. And he wasn't so daft as he sounds, because he experimented first of all on his donkey, his dog and his cat. No,
his cat? His, no cat in the
his
song.
Dog, his horse and his donkey, that's right, it was same difference. They all die. He's heard my introduction before, that gentleman. Get out and come back in half an hour. No, it's not that long. Anyway, where was I? I was looking over the corpses of these three farmyard animals, that's right. And they said, he calmly wrote on his... What do you mean, hello, they've been here hours? He calmly wrote in his little notebook that he kept, they were just getting used to their food-free diet when they died. I lie not, that's the truth. And he made the final scientific sacrifice at the age of 68 and experimented on himself and died in the cause of science. So this is dedicated to that wire and knit Lumley Kettlewell. The chorus is, in spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day. So please join in with Gusto or whoever's sitting next to you. Right, sorry about that, we'll start the song. Chorus goes something like this.
In spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day.
One more time for the ladies, and for me.
In spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day.
That time every time, but louder.
I'll sing of Lumley Kettlewell, a Yorkshireman of fame. In Bolton Percy he was born, and there he made his name. Although a wealthy farmer's son and possessed of health most rude, he spent his whole life trying to prove that no one needed food. But in spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day. Now you might think him funny or consider him berserk, but think of the advantages had Lumley's theory worked. Goodbye to indigestion and adieu to diarrhea. A little abdominal emptiness is all you'd have to fear. So in spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day. Of experiments he ably carried through. He starved his dog, he starved his horse, he starved his donkey too, to cure their dreadful habit of eating between gaps. And when success was in his grasp, the poor beast just collapsed. So in spite of Lumley Kettlewell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day. He saw food as an evil and disdained the good square meal. Plates of chips and Yorkshire pud for him held no appeal. He practiced and he practiced to perfect the food-free day.
And just when he perfected it, the poor sod passed away. So in spite of lovely kettlebell and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day. So when the final trumpets blow and mortals bow down low to those great men of science who taught us all we know, with Einstein, Pasteur, Curie too, let Lumley take his seat. His failure proves that truth of truths, you die unless you eat.
So in spite of Lumley, kettlebell, and all he had to say, it seems that man was born to eat until his dying day.
Graham and Eileen Pratt at the Phoebus Awakes Folk Club in London. For the rest of today's programme, we travel to Whitby to hear a Yorkshire group called Swan Arcade. They're a three-piece group, husband and wife Dave and Heather Brady, together with Jim Boys, and we recorded them in Whitby at the folk festival there.
Last Valentine's Day, bright Phoebus shone clear. We had not been a-hunting for the space of 1 year. Last Valentine's Day, bright Phoebus shone clear. We had not been a-hunting for the space of 1 year. I mounted black clover, that horse of great fame, for to hear the horns blow and the words tally-ho. Tally-ho, tally-ho, hark forward, says tally-ho. I'd hark into cover, Colonel Windham, he cried. He had no sooner spoke than a fox he espied. Hark, hark into cover, Colonel Windham, he cried. He had no sooner spoke than a fox he espied. Tally-ho was the word, and then crack the whip, and that being the signal, our hounds they let slip. Tally-ho, tally-ho, hark forward, oh, says tally-ho. Then up stepped Jim Norris, who cared not a pin, when he pushed to the stream and his horse tumbled in. Then up stepped Jim Norris, who cared not a pin, when he pushed to the stream and his horse tumbled in. And as he crossed over, he spied the bold wren, with her tongue hanging out, turning back to her den. Tally-ho, tally-ho, hark forward, says tally-ho. Our arms and our horses, they all were so good, as ever broke cover or dashed through a wood. Our arms and our horses, they all were so good, as ever broke cover or dashed through a wood. So come fill up your glasses and round let us drink, for whilst we are hunters we never will shrink. Tally-ho, tally-ho, hark forward, says tally-ho.
Thank you. This is another sea song. Comes out of a blue book, and we got us inspiration for singing it from Martin Carthy, who I suppose gives a lot of inspiration to a lot of people to sing a lot of songs. I think any song that you sing, you could probably have stolen it off Martin, because I don't think there's any that don't think there's many that he hasn't sung like. This one's a rather fine song with a nice story, and it's called The Rainbow.
I don't think I'm going to reach it.
It's a little nerve-wracking as we've never sung this song before.
2, 3, 4. Oh, as we were a-sailing down by the Spanish shore, where the drums they did beat and the large cannon did roar, there we spied a lofty army go bearing out the main, which causes us to hoist up our topmost sail again. Our captain says, be ready, oh, he says, me boy, stand true. To face the Spanish army we lightly did pursue. For to face the Spanish army lay long the ocean wide, and without a good protection, boys, we'll take the first broadside. Now it's broadside for broadside, these vessels o'er they went, for sinking one another, it was their full intent. And the bay second broadside, our captain he got slain, and a damsel jumped in his place to give command again. Oh, we fought for nearly 4 hours, for 4 hours or more, till we had scarce a man on board our gallant ship to steer. Till we had scarce a man on board to fire off the gun, and the blood from our decks like a river it did run.
Oh, for quarters, the Spanish boys did cry.
You have had the best of quarters, this damsel did reply. You have had the best of quarters, that we can afford. You must fight, sink or swim, me boys, or jump overboard.
Aye, and now the war is over, and we'll take a glass of wine. You will drink to your true love, and I will drink to mine. Here is a health unto that damsel who fought upon the main. Now she has a royal gallant ship and a rainbow's a name.
Right, this is an ode from us, an ode from a lot of people. It's a song sung a lot, but we've sung it for years and years and still never got sick of it. I would have said, but I didn't. I won't. It's called Peat Bog Soldiers. If you want to join in anyway, you're most welcome.
Not now.
Far and wide as the eye can wander, peat and moor are everywhere. Not a bird sings out to greet us, trees are standing gaunt and bare. We are the Peat Bog Soldiers. We are marching with our fight to the moor. Up and down the pacing, no one can get through. Flight would mean a sure death
in guns and barbed wire. Great of you, we are the peat bog soldiers. We are marching with our spades to the war. But for us there is no complaining. Winter will in time be past. Then once more we will stand rejoicing. Homeland dear, you are mine at last. Then will the peat bog soldiers
Arcade at Whitby, and before that, Graham and Eileen Pratt bringing this edition of Folkweave to a close. Until the next time, this is Tony Arthur at the BBC in London saying goodbye.